For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. We have a big show for you today. It is football season. It is officially football season as we get a game week for KU and K-State. We line up our weekly guests. We all get things going this week. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, will join us to look ahead to K-State. It's when all our insiders join us. It is the first week of that. We'll have Chiefs insiders, Royals insiders. We will have KU insiders, K-State insiders. We're looking forward to it. We love this time of year. It is the best. It's almost like this is our reset week, Tommy, for the next year as we make our way through the preseason. It's over. In the NFL, it is on to game week. We have breaking news for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to you in just a minute. All kinds of good stuff. The IHOP hotline is open for you today, as it always is. 869-1240 is that number. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's where we have Jad Chambers waiting for your calls. We have two giveaways today. We will give away a little HTO as usual, and we have concert tickets. If you're a music fan that enjoys the tastes that I do, you are going to love this concert ticket giveaway we have coming up for a show in November at Intrust Bank Arena. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well. We will have Royals talk from the weekend, certainly, and looking ahead to the rest of the week here. All kinds of good stuff, plus a two-year anniversary, Tommy. Now, is this like our anniversary? Because I didn't get you anything. Or is it like an anniversary to the show and then I don't have to feel bad? I'm not going to feel bad either way. But, you know, if it's, I don't need a lecture about, you didn't even know what today was, did you? Did you even know?
Yeah. Who do you think I am? I mean, I'm not going to throw that in your face, but no, my understanding is it's the 2 year anniversary of, you and I doing Sports Daily together. And so, you know, that's pretty cool. I had filled in a couple times before, you know, we officially started the show together, but, I believe that today is the 2 year anniversary of when, you know, you and I kicked off doing Sports Daily, together as a duo.
How was that? Which is fantastic, and we're rocking and rolling. The show's growing more than ever before, and we're now seen on 12 News Connected. I hope you had a chance to watch us over the weekend as a sort of pregame show to that CBS KWCH NFL preseason game, the Broncos game. We were on there just ahead of the Catchy Awards. So thanks for tuning in. If you saw us there, there are a lot of things we're working on to grow. The video capabilities is one of those things. We'll make picks this week. We'll bring in five people. We'll have different screens. This is going to be a very fun year, maybe the biggest year ever for Sports Daily. So we're very excited about that. By the way, speaking of the video stream, you can watch us on 12 News Connected. If you have the app, you're watching us on your smart TV right now. Thanks. You can also watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us your comments there. We can get to those comments over the air. A lot of fun today. Good weekend. You know, it was hot, but we got some rain. So you'll take that switch. You know, I didn't have any kids' games this weekend, which was a little bit strange, but we had some fun. You know, I played golf since the last time we talked. Last night, I made friendship bracelets with my daughters while listening to Taylor Swift. I have those on if you've got the video stream right now. Two friendship bracelets. I learned how to make a friendship bracelet. So that was fun. And I don't think they're like, I know that the bracelets are Taylor Swift's thing. I don't think they have anything to do with that. They just have a bracelet. And maybe they do. I'm very disconnected to that. But if you need one of these, Tommy, since I forgot your second anniversary gift, I can make you one.
I mean, I was just thinking that would have been a perfect tie-in, the two-year anniversary of you and I doing the show together. And it would have been great to start off a Monday with a friendship bracelet.
Yeah. Well, let me know what your favorite colors are, and we can whip you something up. Yeah. And whether you like regular or fishtail, either way, I can.
Do it in Odyssey blue and orange.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm rocking the Odyssey blue and orange right now. That'd be perfect.
Okay. I will do my best to remember that or ask one of my kids to be on it. My son also got one, but of course his colors, he's like, ooh, yeah. So I think his bracelet was like gold, orange, brown, white, and black is just, it's awesome. Anyway. Chiefs breaking news. We'll have Wyatt Thompson coming up in our next segment. He's going to join us about 9:20. Juju Smith-Schuster's back on this roster, Tommy. We made it 4 minutes into the show without mentioning this. This definitely caught me off guard, and I'm going to tell you, my butt's puckered a little bit here from a football perspective, because that's an interesting signing. Now, it could be as innocent as he's still available and they don't like enough of what they saw out of the other guys. That's one scenario. That would be the most hopeful scenario, let's call it. And then there are a couple other scenarios I don't really like. One of them would be that Hollywood Brown's injury is not progressing the way it should be. That would be one. And the other would be that maybe something is going to happen with Rashee Rice before his court date and a suspension comes after all of this time, which wouldn't make a lot of sense. Now, not that it would not make sense for him to be suspended the first part of the year. That's what we originally thought was going to happen anyway. But that the timing of this now, why not earlier in the offseason? Whereas now it seems like they're waiting on the court date. So those second two scenarios there for the Chiefs on the field have me just a little bit concerned about what's going on there.
I mean, look, I might be doing some mental gymnastics here, but I feel like I'm kind of patting myself on the back a little bit, because I think that this lends more credibility to some of the things that I've been talking about for a while. Number one, the Chiefs aren't happy with the bottom of the depth chart when it comes to wide receiver, namely Kadarius Toney. And I know that Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius Toney are nowhere near the same kind of wide receiver. But at the same time, if they need additional depth, I mean, I don't see a scenario where Kadarius Toney is on the roster. This may also, make some moves, open up some, different moves with guys like Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore, kind of the bottom of that depth chart. And so tomorrow's cutdown day, I think, is going to be extremely intriguing for the Chiefs. On top of that, I was concerned as soon as Hollywood Brown went down with that injury on his very first target of the preseason that this was something that, I know everybody was kind of speculating week one or maybe week two. It could be a more serious type injury where, the risk of re-injury is severe, where it might take a little bit longer. And I know everybody wanted to point at what happened with Tyreek Hill when he had a similar injury, but they're not cookie cutter. I mean, things can take a turn pretty quickly. And I don't want to suggest that that's what's happened with Hollywood Brown, but man, I'm telling you, them signing Juju Smith-Schuster, number one, tells me that they're not happy with the depth chart at wide receiver that they're going to be putting out on the field in week one. And it also does tell me, number two, that something more may be going on with Hollywood Brown.
Well, look, of course it means they're not happy with the depth chart or they wouldn't sign him. I mean, that one is there's no doubt about that. That's not speculation. If they were happy with the depth chart, they wouldn't sign him. They signed him. They're not happy with the depth chart one way or the other. I don't think it's likely an indictment on Kadarius Toney. Because they know what Toney is and whether they want to hold the roster spot for the wrinkles he can add to the offense. I don't even think it's as much about him as it would be everybody else there. because I think for them and Tony was sort of like put to the side. They never have had any intention or inclination or desire to have Kadarius Tony come in and be a regular receiver in the rotation. They were trying him in the backfield. They want him to be a gadget guy. So Juju to me wouldn't have anything to do with him. It would have more to do with, you know, let's say they keep seven receivers with that spot that you might look for Hardman, for Sky Moore, whatever. If they don't keep Tony, they're just not going to keep Tony. I don't think Juju's related to that one as much. But yeah, I would wonder, to me, it's more about Rashee Rice than it is Hollywood Brown. I mean, I don't think anybody's speculated on the injury to Hollywood Brown. It happened. Here's the recovery timetable, and then let's see what happens. Now, if he's behind in his recovery, honestly, I don't even know how they'd know that yet, because his collarbone just has to heal. So if he's behind in it, I guess they could take an X-ray, and you know, these guys have all the facilities in the world. For average Joe like you and I, there's a timetable. At the end of that timetable, you go in and they check it. Maybe they're checking it along the way, I suppose. But I think it's more about Rashee Rice. If I'm going panic mode, I think the most likely scenario is they just feel like Juju could add to the depth chart. I think that's the most likely. The timing on Rice is the most concerning to me, because I don't know why all of a sudden that would change, right? Like, what has potentially changed there? It just does. If we're trying to logically look at his suspension, which we know is coming at some point, the initial reporting on that, you remember, is that this was going to, like, they were going to come down hard, they were going to come down fast, and they were going to get this over with, right? We thought that for a while, and then nothing happens. Well, then it's like, okay, the court system piece of this is taking a while. That's not supposed to start up till the end of the year. And then everybody, you know, and I'm not just saying everybody like you and me, I'm saying everybody who, like, studies this stuff for a living. They're saying, yeah, it's probably not going to happen for a while now, because it looks like they'll just wait for the legal piece to play out, which never made a whole lot of sense to me with an admission of guilt, why the NFL would need to do that. But I mean, it makes sense to me, that line of thinking. So I don't know what's going on. I also don't know if teams get a heads up from the league that a suspension is coming before it comes. I have no idea on that either. It's all hard. I mean, again, best case scenario, they just added to the depth chart and added Juju Smith-Schuster, who's familiar with Patrick Mahomes and gives them another usable piece. I think the most likely is that they're wondering, okay, like, we know Justin Watson can fill in right now. Hollywood Brown misses time. What if there's another injury? Then who are we turning to? Are we turning to Sky Moore or Justin Ross at that point? We know we don't want to turn to Kadarius Toney. That's not what he's going to be for this team if they end up keeping him. That's where maybe it makes sense to go get Juju Smith-Schuster. And the other question is, if everybody's healthy, does Juju just sit on the sidelines? I think he probably should if they're fully healthy.
Yeah, maybe if they're fully healthy. But, you know, I think that because he's got familiarity with the offense in general, it should be, I think, a simple ask to kind of slide him back into a regular role with this team, probably as quickly as week number one. I think that he can get in there and, you know, maybe not have 100% knowledge of what the offense is doing right now, because I know that there are going to be things that schematically are probably different between then and now. But at the same time, generally speaking, he knows the offense. He knows Patrick Mahomes. And I think that you could put him in a situation where right away that learning curve isn't going to be nearly as steep. And I think that's, you know, honestly, a major reason why they brought him back. There are, before Juju, there were a couple of former Chiefs wide receivers that were still free agents. I mean, they could have went out and got Richie James if they wanted to. I mean, he still is a free agent. But I think that was important to them, knowing that we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season, to have somebody familiar with the offense. And if you're going to narrow it down to just the guys that are familiar with the offense, the better option is for sure going to be Juju.
Yeah, I mean, he fits because he catches the ball. And I know that sounds like a joke. It's not a joke. Like, last year, that was the issue. Juju catches the ball. He doesn't do much with it. He's kind of a catch it and fall down guy, but he catches the ball. So It makes sense. Look, again, in the best case scenario, it does make a ton of sense. If you're asking me whether I'd rather have Juju Smith-Schuster or Justin Ross or Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore, at this point, I'm going to take Juju Smith-Schuster because I just trust him more. I mean, that's hopefully for the Chiefs on the field, it's that simple. If Rice gets suspended, he deserves a suspension. He's going to get it at some point. I think you just kind of shake your head at the timing there and move on with your lives. Maybe that's what it is. Look, stylistically, I think he fits Rice a little bit, right, in that role he could play. That's what kind of perks my ear up about that. I would be surprised if it's a Hollywood thing because I just don't think they would know yet. I think they would know more of that probably like next week. But they could be checking. I mean, I suppose that's what I don't know how you do that medically. I don't know how you just like keep do. I honestly like that logistically. I don't know. We'll talk more about this, as we make our way through. Certainly it is a big piece of news. Music fans, stay tuned. We're going to give away those concert tickets in the second hour. Let's set up our other giveaway now because we're going to have Wyatt Thompson here joining us right after this break. If you want to win some HTO, free iced tea and free rain coffee, two new drinks out, coffee fans, if you want to try one of these, a butter pecan mocha iced or hot, or a dirty chai apple crisp, or an apple crisp dirty chai, hot or iced. Those are both out starting today. So if you'd like to get your hands on one of those, we'll get you a free one and a free iced tea. All you got to do right now is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everyone. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joins us for the first time in the 2024 season. That's next on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, and welcome back into Sports Daily. Joining us for the first time in this 2024 season is Wyatt Thompson. UT Martin looms on Saturday as we watch chaos in Ireland for week one and wonder about K-State next year across the pond in Ireland. It's not this year. This year it's UT Martin. This is a year of as much excitement, I think, as we've probably ever had. Wyatt, is that too much? But just because of the expanded playoff, and maybe, you know, considering Avery Johnson and some of the roster things that have happened, but it's more about the playoff. Do you remember a year, and if so, how many, where you walked in that first week, the first Monday of the season, and thought, boy, K-State can legitimately play for a national championship now with this expanded playoff?
I can't say that in my first 22 years here, Jacob, that I've seen anything quite like this. And I thought you said it perfectly. In that, there are a couple of two or three reasons why. One, of course, is the Avery Johnson factor. We all know his story and what he brings to the table and the, you know, impactful player that K-State hopes he will be and become. I keep reminding myself that he's eight games into a career, so he's going to continue to evolve and grow and make mistakes. But he's so far ahead of any quarterback, and I'll say that again, any quarterback, I believe, as it, and where he's at right now in the grand scheme of things in his career, far ahead of most. And then on top of that, you add going from 4 to 12. I think that's just monster. And I just think that Coach Klieman likes his team. And you look at those captains and the leaders of this team, what's not to like? They'll have some growing pains, but I think they've got a chance to be really, really good.
Wyatt, I'm so intrigued, not only about just Avery Johnson's talent, but how the Wildcats intend to utilize him this season. Because I think that part of, there are some people out there that have this misinterpretation of the kind of athlete that Avery Johnson is, where they think, oh, he's a really good runner, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's got a great arm also that I think is underrated a little bit. And so, you know, it makes me wonder how Connor Riley and, you know, that entire offensive staff plan on utilizing him this season. Do you see a more balanced attack coming from a player of the stature of Avery Johnson, or do you think they'll, you know, really lean one way or the other on him?
Well, it's a great question, I think. And I don't know that I have the exact answer, but here's what I would tell you I believe I've seen in the spring ball and in the camp to this particular point. I think they have the ability to play a lot of different ways. Two tights, four wides, anything in between. I think you can expect to see Dylan Edwards and DJ Giddens play a lot together. I just think that this is a situation where when you have a young man like Avery and his ability to run and throw, you're gonna turn him loose at times. Not always necessarily in the run game, but when needed, I think you have to let him go a little bit. And then with Dylan, they've not really shied away from saying this kid's special in terms of his speed and his abilities. They're going to move him all over the field. So I think you could see a lot of different combinations. And I think the tight ends, as an example, are athletic enough that they can play in the slot. They can play wide. There are a lot of options there, guys, to like. And I just believe that's the way it sets right now. Again, they are not going to get away from who they are. And who they are is tough, physical, hard-nosed, running football first. But they're going to chuck it around because they can, right? That's the way I see it.
I think so, too. I don't know that it'll be the strength of the team, but that feels like the unknown to me. We know the strength of the team is going to be to run the ball. I don't know how you balance that. I tell people all the time, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you didn't watch Avery Johnson throw it in high school, he's the most gifted thrower I've ever seen covering high school football now for 20 years in Texas and then here in Kansas. He's got the best arm I've ever seen, most effortless arm. But I just don't know how much they'll use it because it's not the strength of this team. And stylistically, we know they would love to dominate the lines and run the ball, which brings me to my question. Are they good enough on the line to play that way? Is that going to dictate any of this? Because to me, that's that and the defense. But the offensive line seems like a great question for this team, maybe the most important one.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. That is it. I mean, you can probably question, are they good enough at receiver? I happen to think that they can be. We'll see how that plays out. But you cannot lose three sixth-year starters in the offensive line and an All-American at left guard and not have some questions about it, right? I mean, that just makes sense. I've been telling everybody, guys, though, that this group, I think, like everything else, you know, they're going to play into who they are. And I think they have more experience than you might have the perception of. Let me give you a couple, two or three examples. You look at Carver Willis. He started the first six or seven games of last year at right tackle because of injury. Easton Kilty at left tackle has started nearly 40 games at North Dakota. That's a lot of experience, even though it's not Big 12 football. The guy's a really good quality player. Taylor Portier from Bishop Miege in Kansas City has been here a long, long time. He's a good player. He probably would have been a starter had he not had two pretty severe knee injuries over the course of his career. And here you are, three guys in and getting ready to mention Hadley Panzer, who's the returning starter. To me, the key to the offensive line will be Sam Hecht at center. I really like him. I think he's smart. He's probably, if I'm being honest, more athletic than the last couple of centers that they've had. But those other guys were so cerebral. Can he, in the vicinity, match that? And if he can, I think they can be good enough in the offensive line. And I know this. I believe they will get better as the season goes on. They always seem to do that here.
Wyatt, you mentioned a few minutes ago the wide receivers, and I agree with you. I think that the wide receiver room can take a big step forward this year, and I think part of it is, you know, they'll be the beneficiary of having Avery Johnson under center, but on top of that, I mean, they did, you know, go out and, you know, be able to improve that room, you know, with a guy like Dante Cephas coming in, the transfer, but, you know, we saw what Keegan Johnson, we saw flashes of that. I know that he was battling some injuries, but he's a high pedigree type wide receiver. So between those two guys and then, of course, you know, a couple of other returners, like they've got probably more depth, I would think, in the wide receiver room than maybe they've had in quite a while.
I love what you said, and I think it's right on task. I mean, you talk about those two guys, and then you think about the freshman year that Josh had. The guy's a good player, man.
Right.
Jace Brown is who I'm talking about. Yep. I apologize for that. But then I think it even goes deeper than that. You know who's had a really good camp and I think is going to be in the mix is Sterling Lockett. He'll probably back up Jace in the slot. And then you have Trey Spivey and you have Andre Davis. Those kids, I think, are going to be impactful, too. And again, there's another one that you would mention would be, at least from my perspective, Jaden Jackson. Jaden's not lived up to anything that I think they expected out of him yet, but I hope he does this year. And they're going to be dangerous if all of those guys are what we think they could be, frankly.
Let's go to the other side of the ball on the defense. I have zero expectations for the defense because I just don't know. So I'm glad you're here to you've seen some of this. Like, are they as good as they have been? Are they better? What's their upside? I really am flying in blind with that unit until we see them play.
Well, I would say this. I think they have the potential to be better than they were a year ago. And that's a pretty big statement because this is a defense that a year ago gave up just a little over 21 points a game. And that was towards the top of the Big 12. And in this day and age of college football, that's very good defense. I think they have really a pretty good squad defensively. And I think the strengths, let's attack that a little bit. I love the secondary. I think they have two of the better corners, cover corners in the league. I just do. I think the three safeties are difference-making guys. I love Jordan Riley, the transfer from Ball State, another plug-and-play guy out of the portal for them. They always seem to have one. You know, you think about Julius Brents, Reggie Stubblefield. I think this will be the next guy. The linebacking core, I mean, you think about how Austin Romain was shoved in there early last year when Deuce Green went down. And flanking him is going to be Desmond Purnell and Austin Moore. That's pretty good, guys, right? And then the front, I think there's probably just more football players there than you think. Now, here's the deal, though. They're going to play some guys that aren't necessarily, you know, frontline names or household names yet. But I think they're going to be as we go along, whether it's Toby Osunsami or Chidi Obiezor or Ryan Davis. This is their time, and I think they're ready. They need some experience, 100% when you say that, no doubt. But I do think they are going to prove that they belong this year. We'll see, and I think they'll, again, I keep saying this, this is a team that has lots of depth if this all plays out the way they think it can, and those guys have been really rock solid in practice. Think about it from this perspective, going through camp, that defense against that offense and the one-on-ones, pretty interesting matchups, fellas. So I think we're in for a pretty good football team here. That's the way I see it.
You know, defensively, I really think that this is a squad that can go in and have a pretty large chip on their shoulder, primarily because all of the attention this offseason has been the new Avery Johnson era and everything offensively, bringing in Dylan Edwards and, you know, all the different wrinkles that they'll have offensively. And I think defensively, those guys are probably like, hey, you know, we're here too, and we can be effective. I want to ask you about Joe Klanderman, defensive coordinator for the Wildcats. How important is it, and I know it is important, but how imperative is it to have a guy like Klanderman be in that role for so long? The continuity of the defensive coordinator. I mean, he's been on Chris Klieman's staff since Klieman came to Kansas State. And being able to know that there isn't a whole lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball from a coaching staff perspective when offensively, you know, they've had some changes and Colin Klein has left and all of that. You know, Joe Klanderman is rock solid there coaching up the defense.
Well, you said a bunch, and I agree with all of that. I do think Joe is a very underrated guy in terms of what he has done here. You know, K-State a few years ago opened the season in Arlington, Texas, you might remember, against Stanford and went to that 3-3-5 with the idea that we're going to shock them with it, and if it works, we stay with it. If it doesn't, we go back to a four-man front. And they've been basically in that three-man front since. And they've been really good since that time, right? I mean, and consistent. I think they would like to get a little bit more quarterback pressure, and that's where I think some of those guys come in, like a Ryan Davis and a Toby Osunsami type guy. I think they feel like they're going to get some of that. We'll see how that plays out. But the nose tackle and the defensive tackle, whatever you want to say that, it is another, I think, key position for this group, because Uso Feamalo was pretty darn good last year when he was healthy. And right now, I'm not too sure he'll be the starter opening night. I think Damian Eulalio has really pushed him. And I think both of those guys, and even Asher Tomaszewski and Bates, have been good. So, again, more bodies. I think you're going to see him play a ton of guys and kind of just see where they're at, especially in these first couple of games, because you got Arizona on that Friday night on the 13th and big games coming up after that with OSU and what have you. So I think we're going to have a pretty interesting couple of weeks here to kind of feel things out.
You mentioned Toby Osunsamni. We had a viewer here on our video stream want to get your take on a guy who has lit it up here in the high school football world for a while. Cheney's Jackson Voth. So local viewer want to know about another local kid. Toby out of Wichita East is at the point in Avery. There's a lot of local flavor on this team. What's everybody thinking about Jackson Voth early on?
Well, I would tell you this. There are two – I'm going to get my list out here, because there are two really young receivers on this football team that I know personally Chris Kleiman is
– From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Crazy about Jackson Voth is one of them.
Yeah.
The other is a kid by the name of Bryce Nornberg from Olathe South.
Okay.
Those two guys wouldn't surprise me at all if you see them right out of the gate. I don't know that we will for sure. I'll probably have a better feel for that as this week goes on. But I think just from the standpoint of what those guys are, how hard they practice. They have not been intimidated in any way, shape, or form, and look like they've belonged since day one. Both can run good routes. Both have good hands. I know Matthew Middleton is excited, and Chris Kleiman is excited about both of those guys. You're going to see Jackson Voth play here someday. I just don't know when, but he is going to play here someday.
He was a star at Cheney. Cheney last year with their, all of the things that they were able, that whole family. We've had fun with them over the years, but that's a fun one. Tommy and I have wondered why at UT Martin, there have been years where K-State has maybe held stuff back in the openers, but sure. with changes on the coaching staff and Avery Johnson needing the reps, do you envision that at all against a team like UT Martin?
Well, I don't know that they would. They'll probably not show everything just because of the nature of it. But again, I think we're repetitive here to a degree, but I think we've got a lot of young guys in this program that they're ready to go. And I think you have to, pardon the expression, at some point open the gate and let the horses run. You know what I'm saying? And I think there will be some of that. I just feel like they like the depth. They're going to show it off they're not going to show everything opening night. That most don't, especially if you don't have to, because you've got the game at Tulane the following week and then Arizona back here. So I'd say you want to keep a few bullets in the gun. But with that said, I do think that you have to be who you are. And I think they're going to be aggressive on both sides of the ball and in special teams. I'm of the belief, too, that this team will take a tick up in special teams play just because of Dylan Edwards and Sterling Lockett and some of those guys. And those two kids that we mentioned a moment ago, I'm not sure if they'll be part of that opening night or not, but I think they could be. You know, they've gotten reps. And when you get reps here, you usually play here. And we'll see how that goes.
One more for me, Wyatt. Of course, the Big 12 looks entirely different now than it did a season ago. And, you know, Kansas State probably outside of Utah is the next team as far as projections of winning the Big 12. We know Kansas has improved and what that will probably look like at the end of the season. Oklahoma State's right there, maybe even Arizona. There are a lot of teams, and it could potentially be a logjam at the top of the Big 12 when everything is all said and done. Knowing the landscape of the conference is entirely different than it was a year ago. It was interesting to me. I didn't realize that in the Chris Klieman era at K-State, there hasn't been a season where he's won more than 9 games. But now when you've got Texas and OU out of the conference, even though there are a lot of really good teams, it seems like the parity is there and the opportunity presents itself really for Kansas State to win more than 9 games. What's your perspective on the way that the conference is lining out as we head into the season?
Well, I really like this subject because we all have said this before. Losing the national brand that is Oklahoma and Texas is impactful. You don't necessarily replace that. And I think both of those teams will probably do okay in the SEC in year one. A lot of people believe Texas is better than Oklahoma right now. We'll see how that plays out. But as for our league, I think what I'm most interested in, and so many have written about this and talked about it, is who are those 3 or 4 teams that are going to reach out and say, there's no reason why we can't put ourselves in a position to be that next team, right? Whether it's K-State or Utah or whoever it might be, you know, KU, they're thinking they're going to be right there, and they should think that way. Arizona, same thing. Iowa State, probably the same. West Virginia, I think what you have to do is realize that the top, I'm going to say 5 or 6 teams, there's very little difference probably. That's what we think going in. Let's see how it plays. But I do think it's going to be a very interesting Big 12 for not just this year, but for a couple of years or maybe 3 till this thing kind of, you know, starts to sort itself out a little bit. OSU's got as many people back as anybody. K-State's got a bunch back. I think they feel like they're, you know, very capable of doing what we all think that they can be, and doing it over the course of not just this year, but the next few. There's a lot on the line when you think about it from that perspective. Don't you guys agree? I mean, I think that's sure. Really a big deal right now in our conference.
I think one of the things we've wondered is it may hurt the conference. It's going to make the regular season for the conference incredible.
Yep.
It may hurt the conference when it comes to the selections down the road. It's kind of hard to imagine 2 teams making it out of this thing with fewer than 3 losses, which is probably what it's going to take to get in 12 teams. So that may be the downside of it, but the upside is the regular season will be incredible. Just about every game, if not every game, will be worth watching in the Big 12 this year. And Wyatt, that includes UT Martin. It is the beginning of the season. It is time for excitement. It is at home. I know everything's a sellout there in Manhattan essentially this year. Anything fun you guys have coming up on the network, which of course people will hear the game right here on KFH.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting into year 23 for me, and Stan's been here forever, and Matt, our crew's pretty much the same all the way down the line. You'll hear from Chris Klieman, you'll hear from players, our coordinators. I'm going to try to do a little feature this week on Matt Wells, and I think from a couple of different angles, I think you guys will really enjoy Matt. He's been a head coach a couple of different times. He's coaching Avery Johnson and those other quarterbacks. He's dealing with new communication systems with the systems now in the quarterbacks' helmets, which is very unique for the team. So there's so much, you know, there early on. And I just think that'll be a real fun story to tell Saturday. So we also have so much going on with opening night. It's Hall of Fame weekend here. You know, we've got a couple of football players going into the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame, which is really cool, and others too, of course, but it's going to be a big, big weekend, and can't wait.
All right, Wyatt, we'll hear the broadcast this weekend. Can't wait. You're the best. Glad we're back in the groove here. Welcome to the video broadcast here, Sports Daily, and we'll hear from you Saturday and talk to you next Monday.
You guys are awesome. Appreciate the visit. Hope we're talking about a really good performance next week. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
That's right. There goes Wyatt Thompson. I'm looking forward to that Matt Wells stuff. I know the people in Lubbock, success on the field didn't work out, but the people in Lubbock really did like him from what I've been told. That's kind of my home base. So all that's coming for you this weekend. We'll have KU previews and everything later in the week as well. Let's take a quick break. We're up against it. We'll come back. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, for hopping on. Don't go away. Welcome back in, everybody. All that football coverage provided by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Appreciate Wyatt Thompson for stopping by the program. If you missed any of that, you can always go back and find it for free on the Odyssey app. We put this show in podcast form. You can get each day's show after it airs. It is a great way to listen to radio. We love if you're driving around and you can catch us, or if you're live streaming us at kfhradio.com or on 12 News Connected or any of those places. But if you miss the timing but still want to take in the show, maybe you're a huge Cat fan and you want to hear from Wyatt Thompson, just go to the Odyssey app, download it, search for Sports Daily, search for KFH. You can find all the great content there. Little housekeeping here as we're coming up on a short segment. We mentioned the Juju Smith-Schuster news off the top of the show. If you missed it, if you were just joining us, the Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster. We and the rest of the world are trying to figure out why they did that. I think the hope for the Chiefs on the field is it's just a depth piece. But when you've got an injury to Hollywood Brown, as Tommy put it, or when you've got a lingering suspension at some point for Rashee Rice, which is where I lean as a concern level, then I think you got to pay attention, and we'll continue to do that. I think Andy Reid should be talking today if they're in a regular rotation. It is technically a bye week if you look at the regular rotation now that the preseason is done. But we'll keep our eyes and our ears peeled for that news. We've also got we haven't talked Royals yet. We'll talk Royals. Royals have a big problem on their hands right now. And Tommy can give us a little update here real quick as we get ready to talk Royals. We're going to have a Royals insider the rest of the way, Tommy. Is that right?
We are, yeah. Every Tuesday for the rest of the regular season into the playoffs, as long as, you know, the Royals are still in it. We've got Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman, which is affiliated with the Fansided Network. And so if you ever go to kingsofkauffman.com, you can read a bunch of articles. They've got inside analysis, all of that, specifically on the Royals. And so Mike Gillespie is one of the editors of Kings of Kauffman. And so he'll be joining us starting tomorrow and every Tuesday at 9:30 to talk Royals with us the rest of the way.
That will be awesome. That will be fun. And I can't wait to get their take on what we're going to open the next hour with, which is, I mean, it's an unusable bullpen right now in a lot of cases. Just a brutal, brutal Saturday and Sunday for the pen, which continues a trend. When the Royals don't have the lead late in the game, yikes. We'll get to it when we return. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster, some Royals talk when we return. We'll get more to this big Chiefs news today as well in the second hour, and we'll get you primed up for a concert giveaway that if I was a listener, I would be all over for the band that's coming in November that we've got tickets for. Stick around. Sports Daily, coming right back.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.